Michelle. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Woo! Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Friday, it's raining, but don't let that get you down. Just live your life. Be happy. Blaine with the day off. He's happy somewhere, I know. Alex Apple's happy to be here. He's sitting in for Blaine. Ryan Albany's sitting in for David Reed. I'm sitting in for myself today. I'll be playing the role of
You got Ryan the Bean Squad with you, Mickey. That's for sure. At least for
you,
me.
I think Ryan's
killing it. I'm literally killing the show.
Ryan, anytime Ryan Albany's produces, I'll get a couple of messages from people saying, who's playing this music today? Because I like it. He's got all these kind of eclectic musical choices. And then I'll say, what was that? He'll, you know, say something, act like it's no big deal. But Albanese will pull a couple of really eclectic musical numbers for you. So you got to stay tuned. Even the Bunt music rocking today as he sits in for the rock solid David Reed, who's just one of the cornerstones of the Zone. Out today again, along with Blaine. So we're all just hanging out, having a good time. We appreciate that you are hanging out along and hanging out with us. Lots to get to. Adam Humphries, released by the Titans yesterday, saves them about $4.5 million in cap space. Ultimately, not a surprise to anybody. Just had problems staying healthy. Gosh, we all just kind of have to sit back and wonder what in the world would have happened if that guy could have stayed healthy, because we saw how dangerous he was. That doesn't leave much in the receiver room for the Titans. Corey Davis, Khalif Raymond, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina are all free agents, but Westbrook-Ikhina is an exclusive rights free agent, meaning if you just offer him a minimum salary contract, then he can't go anywhere. So he was sort of finding his way into the special teams role and catching a pass or two at the end of the year. So who's in the room right now? Well, per spot track, this is who are the Titans receivers on the roster. A.J. Brown, he's pretty good. Played last year on one leg. Cameron Batson, who's a depth guy, which I thought his contract was up, but spot track showed him as having another year. Chester Rogers, who, if there's a Colts fan listening, if there is, welcome. And you're wondering, huh? That guy actually was a kind of a valuable Colt for a number of years. Wound
probably
up getting
could
cubs
be
on
a fifth receiver.
I think he could. He never played for the Titans last year. He was on the expanded practice squad all year. Cody Hollister, who we got into earlier. I'm sure people thought I had an unhealthy man crush explanation. The Titans have a bunch of small guys, and then they had Corey Davis and they had A.J. Brown. This guy's not – he's not Cameron Batson's. They had a bunch of little guys, was the whole depth chart, and then they had Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Then they had little people everywhere. Well, Cody Hollister is a bigger receiver along the lines of A.J. or Corey Davis. They have Mason Kinsey, who was an undrafted guy, really good college football story. If there are preseason games, trust me, you'll know more about Mason Kinsey. Another little guy, and Rashard Davis, another little guy.
I have a friend who every year, like clockwork, like Christmas rolls around, so too does this guy's love. His name's Ryan McClarty. You might be listening. Love
MC Clarty.
For the small, underrated, underdrafted, under-talented, waste of a roster spot receiver that the Titans fans always fall in love with. So, look, the point is they have A.J. Brown and that's it. The last caller at the last segment made a great point. I think you make up receiver hay in the draft, and you probably don't have to spend a first-round pick to do it. You really need that first-round pick to be on defense. Maybe you can transition tag Janu Smith, bring back Firkser. Pass is probably okay. I think the real question of this Titans offseason, and if you're a Titans fan, if you disagree with me, call in. Because 615-737-1045, the problem is the guys whose contract you would want to rework, with the exception of maybe Adoree or Malcolm, maybe it's Roger Saffold, maybe Lawan, maybe you get Ben Jones to come down a little bit. Okay, well, think about that. If I'm Roger Saffold, I feel no obligation to give up my money. I've done a great job for 2 years. Taylor Lawan, you're paying me to be the best offensive lineman on the team. I'm the left tackle. Take a hike. Ben Jones, maybe. I really think that I've seen Ben Jones on some cut lists. I think the Titans could stand to keep him. I mean, I think he is a very underrated presence for that offensive line. So who are you going to renegotiate, really, Mickey? Who's going to accept it is the better question.
Well, to all these guys who are like, here are cut candidates from your team, you know, some national writer guy, they're going to spot track and they're just looking at numbers. Now, they might look at a particular roster and go, gosh, this guy was really bad last year. I'm going to put, and what is he, I'm going to just put this guy. Most of the time, they're just digging through your roster and looking. If you look at Malcolm Butler, the reason he's a cut candidate for all those cut candidate lists is because his cap hit is $14.2 million and his dead cap is only $4 million, meaning you would save over $10 million if you release Malcolm Butler. So cut candidate guys just looking at that going, kidding me? That's so easy.
The question is kind of right, does Malcolm Butler like it here, right? Because if you do, you might have an incentive. I'll sign it. I'll get an extra year and cut my, you know, cap hit in half this year.
Well, I think they may have to cut his cap hit just based on what it is. It's the third highest cap hit on the team. But you don't want Malcolm Butler going anywhere. In my opinion, he's by far the best cornerback you got on the team. You have no idea what you got in Christian Fulton. Desmond King was your slot guy. He's a free agent. What are you going to do with Desmond King? If you could get him on a really economical deal, but I saw, you know, one of the Pro Football Focus or one of those metric sites, they had him as the top slot guy available. So can you pay top slot guy money to Desmond King? Maybe not. Maybe you got to draft a slot, an inside cornerback. Maybe you think it's Fulton. I don't know. I don't know if Fulton was an inside guy last year when they tried to get him to play inside. He was, I think reading about him in the draft and reading what he said about himself, it sure seemed like he saw himself more of an outside man-to-man type guy.
I think that's what he'd be good at.
So with Malcolm, I mean, we know what he is. He was the alpha dog. Really, I think he was the alpha on the whole defense last year.
And they need a couple of alphas.
They do.
Me, that's the biggest allure of getting J.J. Watt. And, you know, I don't think they're going to get him. I think you're going to have to pay too much. And he's getting older. You need some alphas. You know, and this kind of reminds me, I think this is the worst cap situation the Titans have been in since 2004. Longtime Titans fans will remember this. You know what I'm talking about, Mickey?
Yes.
And the cap is different now. It does not work like it used to, where you would have these bloodlettings. You know, the Titans basically sold out for 2 years.
Yeah.
And Floyd Reese had to cut half the roster. Samari Roll, I mean, players in their absolute prime. Samari Roll was cut off of a year in which he had 6 interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough. I mean, I think it doesn't work like it did back then. We have to tear down the whole roster. There's more flex in the cap. But I think it's one of the toughest situations since then, and Titans fans will remember exactly how difficult of a situation that was. Let me throw out one other hypothesis for you. Maybe we'll let this marinate as we go into break. Maybe Buck Rising has a take on this too, because I want to hear what he has to say about Jarrell Casey. But the question being, the Titans let go of Jarrell Casey, and Grind Simmons, as he's known on Twitter, was really it on the defensive line. I think Daquan Jones did serviceable, but they had some holes there. I don't think there was anyone on that defensive line elevating the play of anyone around them. All due respect to Simmons, I don't think he's there yet. So what if you bring in, I'll throw out a name, look it up, Dalvin Tomlinson, New York Giants, probably the second best defensive line free agent other than Leonard Williams. Bring in a guy out of the draft, maybe sign Dietrich Wise, who I mentioned earlier from New England, who's a serviceable rotation end, and try to have everybody elevate as opposed to just staking your flag in Matt Judon or Carl Lawson or whomever and saying, this is our guy, and we hope he gets double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
It's not sexy, but I think that might be the way the Titans have to go about it.
That might be the way they have to go about it. And here's another, they drafted Larrell Murchison last year. He's a defensive lineman. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of fireworks for Big Merch.
No.
You know, the Tier Tar, the undrafted guy. We talked about
him. He was
the
best one on the team.
Yeah.
Other than Simmons, as far as making impact plays.
So you need to, you know, you need the Tart to, you know, to be sweet as well again next year. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have to play some by committee on some position groupings, right? It's like nobody makes more than X amount. This is what we got to spend. This is what we can spend on this. I think absolutely there may be some by committee type approach with a lot of these guys. We were talking about Ben Jones just before we hit the break. Ben Jones is another guy who's showing up on some of those lists. Ben Jones is a solid guy in the middle of that offensive line, anchoring a 2,000-yard rush offensive line. But his cap hit 7.25. His dead cap is only $1 million.
And can I make one more point too, Mickey? I mean, Ben, if you're having to cut Ben Jones, you're in big trouble. You're going to end up with a lot of holes on the roster from cuts. But this is also a symptom, what the Titans are going through, what we're sitting here wringing our hands about, of having a four-person draft class, of having two quarterbacks drafted that you basically just paid to go away. You know, you're not going to hit on every fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, but you need deeper draft classes. And, you know, drafting Cole McDonald and Luke Falk, you never even gave, they were never on the roster. They never had a chance. It's not the end of the world, but you just love to have that cheap depth. Depth is really where the Titans are different from the top teams right now.
Yep. You mentioned 2018, a 4-man draft class, which turned into only a 3-man draft class because Luke Falk was gone before the ink was dry on his contract. Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, Dane Cruikshank.
And
Luke
Cruikshank's
Falk.
A good example. Solid depth special team player. We had to throw him in there, probably could. But you're not paying him anything. You don't have to bring in a 30-year-old free agency that you're paying $1 million to be your depth player.
Yeah, well, they can't, like we said, and we're going to keep saying it, they can't miss on guys this year. They're just not going to have the space to sign veterans. They're going to have some rookies that are drafted and undrafted, I think, who have to come in and make this team and play and play very well. They're going to have to play at a high level or at least nail down whatever spot they hold on the depth chart and be solid there, right? They're going to have to hold down a spot somewhere and hold it down very well. Buck Rising set to join us. He holds his spot on the depth chart down really well from A to Z Sports. Buck Rising next to talk Titans. It is Blaine and Mickey with Alex Apple sitting in for Blaine, 104.5 to Zone.
Subscribe to the 3.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 to Zone. Happy Friday to everybody. Dare I say it, the bright orb is releasing sunlight in the sky near my house. It's just like it. Unbelievable moment here in my room. The sun is streaming through. So hopefully you're having a great Friday wherever you are. Buck Rising set to join us. The man that Brent Doherty calls the angry millennial hipster. Buck Rising should be appearing on Zoom. How a guy his age can't get onto Zoom and get logged into the show right now, I'll never know.
He tweeted a screenshot of a song earlier today that I haven't thought about in probably 10 years. It was called Get Buck In Here. Get Buck In Here by DJ Felly Phil. That's what you should play as your intro music every time he comes on. It was an incredibly mediocre rap song from probably 2006.
I think Buck would tell you that's an appropriate introduction for him.
He tweeted it. Yeah. It would be appropriate. But I'm interested to talk to him about a couple of things. And, you know, the Jarrell Casey thing is interesting because that guy was synonymous. I mean, he was the Titans brand for a couple of years. A fantastic player, the guy that you would bring back, and you know, he's kind of a tweener maybe, but you know, not that far off from being in the Ring of Honor. I'm not sure he's quite there, but you could see the Titans welcoming him back. You know, the question is, how scarred is he from last year? Do I think that a healthy Jarrell Casey could still help the Titans? Yeah, the bar is not that high to cross, but he may have been more upset than we knew, you know, with his trade last year, but. You know, that's ultimately an ego thing, and it may be, you know, best for both worlds. We don't even know for sure that the Titans would have interest in that.
Well, Buck Rising joins us now. I think he sent some messages to some people, Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. Just how ready are some of the Titans brass who responded to your messages, Buck? Just how ready might they be for a Jarrell Casey reunion?
Yeah, no way in hell.
Don't be so subtle.
Like that's basically a consensus. You know, I texted about, you know, four or five people yesterday. I got three solid no ways. So I would not expect that, mostly on the part of Jarrell Casey. I think more than anything, I think if you go back and look at his comments the first time that he talked to Denver media, and he didn't talk a ton because there were only so many games that he played, and he only played in three. The Titans sold at the right time on Jarrell. His body was starting to fall apart really as early as that Baltimore playoff game. And the fact that they were able to offload that massive contract and get draft capital out of it is pretty – it's probably the best thing John Robinson did last offseason. In fact, I think it is the best thing that John Robinson did last offseason. Now, you would like the corresponding cap space that they freed up with that trade to do more for the 2020 Titans. But in 2021, I can almost guarantee that Jarrell Case is not going to be on the roster.
Is that just based on, again, where he is injury-wise at this point in his career? Or do you think it'd be how much he could cost? Is it how things ultimately ended? Is it a combination of everything? Or is it something as simple as they see a player who probably physically just can't provide much help anymore?
No, I mean, listen, he was productive in that first game, Titans-Broncos week one. Like, he was batting down passes. He was disruptive. He still has the ability to do all those things. I think mainly it's Jarrell's pride more than anything, based on a couple of people that I talked to yesterday. And I mean, if you can find a serviceable second D tackle to put next to Jeffrey Simmons, why would it be 32-year-old Jarrell Casey? It's just there are better uses of the money right now. That they, with more clear and obvious needs that they need to address. It sounds lovely for everybody who loves Jarrell Casey and everything that Jarrell Casey did for the Tennessee Titans and largely the city of Nashville. So I understand why there's that emotional attachment, but let go and let God is what I would say.
I think you have that bumper sticker on your car. Buck Rising, A to C Sports, joins Alex Apple and Mickey Ryan on Blaine and Mickey.
I told them they should have Get Buck in Here by DJ Felly Fell as your intro music, which I saw you tweet. I mean, you talked about a song I haven't thought about since 2006.
I wake up, I turn the shuffle on, whatever it provides to me is what I listen to when I get up in the morning at about 5:30. And today it was DJ Felly Fell. So high school me was hyped to get going, get in the shower, and get to the gym this morning.
Not too bad. Let me ask you this. As far as duplicating the model of what was successful about the Jarrell Casey trade, avoiding dead cap space, getting a little something in draft capital, and moving on really at the perfect time, is there anyone on the Titans roster that they may do that with this offseason that, for one, would have another team actually interested in trading for, as opposed to just cutting some of these guys to free up cap space?
Yeah, that's something that's been floated mainly about Taylor Lewan, and not floated as in people are talking about that would be able to trade Taylor Lewan, but like that's a lot of questions that I get from people on Twitter in my mentions and you know on the various different platforms that I'm sitting here gas bagging about. Like the way Lewan's contract is structured, he's going to make 13.6 this year, 14.9 in 2022. And 14.8 in 2023. Now, the thing about Lewan that you don't know is how he responds from the ACL tear, but it just, him being really the only candidate for something like that, that's not a move that you want to take. For what Taylor Lewan is and the position that he plays, honestly, from that deal that he signed just about 3 years ago, a little less than, he looks like a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
like when you look at what Laremy Tunsil broke the market last year, but when you look at like even what Jack Conklin got, to go play last year in Cleveland on a shorter deal, albeit. But Taylor Lewan is a really good value for the caliber of player that we last saw Taylor be. Now, we don't know what he's going to look like. ACLs are pretty routine. And Taylor is a, you know, I know he's been super diligent about the rehabilitation process. And frankly, it happened really early in the year. So you're probably going to get the healthiest version of Taylor Lewan that you've had in some time. But understanding why people are kind of looking at what they did with Jarrell last year and saying, can you offload anybody? Man, I don't think anybody wants Malcolm Butler at $14 million. I think that what happens there in all likelihood, and this is going to happen around the league, nobody's going to take on these big contracts. They're just going to cut them. The guys that they want to try and restructure, they'll try and restructure. But I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath on the free agent market this year. J.J. Watt, Adam Humphries are two really good examples of that. The starting safety in Carolina, his name escapes me right now, but like names that you recognize of big time players that have been on big second deals outside of their rookie contracts, you're going to see a ton of them available on the market this year.
And so in baseball, you have even some of the highest paid free agents or some of the better players in the market stay unsigned for a long time. I mean, I think the baseball, you know, salary cap structure is really screwed up. I mean, I think that they need to, I think a lot of people would say it needs to be reworked so you don't have great players re-signed.
Oh, yeah, and now Pujols still making like $30 million this year? Isn't that the thing?
And Marcelo Ozuna just re-signs for the Braves. He's going to be a great player, but he barely, you know, got it in before spring training. So is the lower cap more apt to affect the lower end free agents? You're talking the guys that might have signed for $4 and $5 million now are going to get one or two. Or do you think the league is more going to course correct by being less apt to offer Matt Judon $16 million and some of these higher price tags? Like, where is the savings going to be? Lower price, higher price?
So I think a lot of these middle tier guys are who you're going to see out there and available. Like, that's going to be where teams start as they kind of bleed their roster or their salary cap dry. I think the way that you're going to see a lot of rosters constructed around the NFL this year, once we get finally, you know, once salary caps get finalized, once roster gets finalized, is you're going to see a ton of you're going to see star players and you're going to see rookies. You're going to see affordable guys, and then you're going to see like the highest price guys that are still capable of producing at a star, you know, at a superstar level. Like, that's really where it's going to be. The middle ground for, like, you know, take just for example, a player like Kenny Vaccaro, who's on a second deal and was had at a relatively good price. But I don't know what the market's going to be like for Kenny if he, in fact, does get cut. I think he's the most likely next name up there. I think you do a lot. Between Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, and low-key Ben Jones, unless you're going to extend these guys, I mean, you straight up got to get rid of them. At least if you're the Titans, like the Titans are up against the cap. Titans have like now about $6 million that they can play with after Humphreys is gone. But ultimately, you are going to see high caliber, high price tag players at the top of rosters and the rest filled out in a way that's one-year deals, rookie contracts, journeyman, cost effective in a year where the cap is down about 15 mil.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, joins us. So Isaiah Wilson, since the last time you were on, he quit the Titans via Twitter. He was done. And then he deleted the tweet. And I don't get too wrapped up in things that happen on Twitter because people get emotional and they tweet stuff and they delete it. But when it's this guy and it's just the latest misstep and a number of missteps, now there's a report that the Titans are trying to shop him. You mentioned first thing we got to talking about was how John Robinson dealt Jarrell Casey's contract to the Denver Broncos. Essentially, that's what was traded. Is anybody going to trade anything and take this mess off the Titans' hands?
I mean, it only takes one team to just not do their homework, right? But
yeah,
and listen, that sounds like a ridiculous thing, but it's there's a lot of dumb football teams. Like, you don't have to look anywhere further than the AFC South to see how many dumb football teams there are in professional football. The only reason Isaiah Wilson's still on the roster is because they're shopping him. The bigger news is that if somebody actually takes Isaiah Wilson on his rookie deal, there is so little reason to believe that a dude who is this blatantly unprofessional, publicly unprofessional, is going to wind up being somebody that a team willingly gives up draft capital for. I don't know. I can't say definitively to you that it would never happen. Like I said, it only takes one dumb team. But Isaiah Wilson is just here because they're seeing if they can squeeze anything out of what's left of him. And, you know, what they didn't get anything out of him in the first place, which is the bigger problem. There's nothing on the football field in 2020 to indicate that this guy is going to be able to play. You have no evidence of that. You have one special team snap where he's planted flatly on his ass and three in victory formation in a blowout win at Indianapolis there. That's what's on film. And if you want that, you can find it on the internet because it's being circulated widely. The Isaiah Wilson thing is a cautionary tale to every other NFL team, because it's not, you know, you blame the people responsible for drafting him, of course. But I really do think that there is a curve that needs to be accounted for in a virtual offseason, especially the first time around. But now that everybody knows the rules, they know what adjustments need to be made until things get less virtual, which is no time in the future at this point for the NFL. But Isaiah Wilson is absolutely a cautionary tale that don't just take what you see on a Zoom call and a couple of vettings from guys who aren't trying to hurt themselves in college recruiting. Don't just take that as a reason to draft the dude in the first round. This is what can happen.
It just blows my mind. And this is a question probably better asked to a psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever it is.
Don't worry. I'll be your psychiatrist today. It's okay.
For him to have tricked them so mightily, it couldn't have been worse. He had to have, at least looked good on this computer screen like I'm looking at you right now. But do you think it makes the Titans, let's say the Titans really like Ojulari from Georgia in the first round of the draft this year. Can you trust the people from Georgia who clearly were probably painting him with, Georgia red colored glasses on last year? I mean, how deep is the mistrust or stain from screwing that up?
I mean, there's going to be issues the next time that John Robinson and his staff bring up a Georgia player as somebody who the Titans might add to the roster. That's of course going to happen when something like this goes this wrong. The thing that I hear more often than anything is that Isaiah Wilson just a little bit fraudulent. Like he just kind of fooled people. Cause listen, the tape's great. The tape is great, okay? Like, he is hugely talented as a football player. And I know college is different, but if you're going to take a sample size that can translate well to the NFL, it's going to be in the SEC, and it's going to be at Georgia. Like, this is not something where it's just the dude couldn't play. It's that they weren't able to do the full workup or research that they might have been able to do in any other year. They liked him at the combine, which was the last normal event, and that impression was good enough to carry over until April when they ended up drafting this dude 29. Like the comments from them back there, like they put their neck out for this dude. They did the same thing for Jeffrey Simmons. So I don't discount that they really believe that they had a good player. It's just that this guy, they thought that they could get him in a situation where he was supported and helped to overcome immaturities, and he ended up just isolating himself not once but twice because of the COVID list, and then a third time they isolated him from the team because they said, get the hell out of here, we're trying to win a division title, we don't have time for this crap right now. And he just ends up going down on a boat and partying in on South Beach with a bunch of women whose age I hope he checked.
what have you heard, Buck Rising, on with us? What have you heard about, maybe based on the one game suspension or anything else, that if they can't unload him, that maybe they would be relieved of some of their financial obligations based on what he did, some of the things that he did?
It's possible. Joe Corey makes from CBS Sports, former NFL agent. I'm sure you guys have had him on the Zone before. Joel, in his column, makes a really good case for that being the remainder of the guaranteed money that they haven't already paid out. It's about $5.6 million right now that they don't have guaranteed for Isaiah Wilson. That one-game suspension allows for flexibility if you want to try and recoup some of that money. Now, the biggest problem with all that is it's not going to count towards this year's cap. Like, it's the Vic Beasley thing over again. Like, you weren't going to get that $9.5 million back for this past season, it was going to come next year in some form or fashion. So whatever they get back off Isaiah Wilson, if they in fact try to, is not going to account for this year and this team's salary cap. It's going to come down the road because you're going to have to go through arbitration, and that's not getting resolved before rosters are finalized in September.
Well, the crazy thing is, if you just have to cut him, they're like upside down $4 million, I think, Buck, on his contract. I think that's the number this year. Yep. The dead money. I think it's $4 million. They don't have $4 million. That means they got to cut you and me and Alex Apple out of broadcasting. I mean, they don't have $4 million.
Well, don't give them the option to, Mick. They may come for us. But I think that the problem, the problem is multi-layered, right? Because obviously you have first-round capital invested in this dude. Now you have a situation that seems to be untenable and it's going to impact you, this mistake, for not just one season, but several, if you can't figure out a way to get this done. So I don't have a clean answer for you on that, other than they screwed up and they got to find a way to make the best situation possible. Ben Marino, their salary cap wizard, is really good at his job, but there are things put in place to help protect the player. You just don't, that are negotiated and collectively bargained in the CBA. So those protections are still applying to Isaiah Wilson, even though he seems to have largely been negligent on his side of the deal.
Wow. I wish you were painting a little rosier picture. Let me ask you, I mean, the whole, we're going to sit here for months and debate this in nuance and detail. The whole big picture is going to come down to whether in the end, and you just talked about the salary cap wizardry that's probably going to be needed here, is going to allow the Titans to enter 2021 with a better team than they left with this past year. I mean, 1 to 10, real simple question. The chances that the Titans are actually able to meaningfully improve the roster in some sort of discernible way is what?
Yeah, it's probably, an 8, because the free agency makes it easy. All the defensive players are not all of them, but largely they're free agents. Like, you got the ability to wipe this whole slate clean and get better players. Now, are you going to upgrade over Jayon Brown right away? Probably not. Can you find a better pass rush option than Jadeveon Clowney? Yes. Can you find a better corner situation than Desmond King? I think very much so. I think Desmond King, what he did here was good, and they needed it when Christian Fulton and Adoree Jackson were injured. But this is not a situation where this is a make or break player. He was nowhere close to the same guy that we saw be a Pro Bowler in 2018. This is a different player. It's the reason he got benched in Los Angeles the first time around. So you got to wipe up some of the excess in the salary cap, and you have a shot at getting somebody who's going to be able to make a bigger impact than some of the guys that are walking this year.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports Primetime. Also the 615 session. What's the latest on the ye old 615 sesh? What's the most recent guest?
Sheil Kapadia of The Athletic. He's an incredible NFL columnist for that website. He's also very closely tied to Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz, because he covered them both in previous stops. He's doing free agency primers. We went down the roster of guys who are going to be free agents for the Titans this year, and we talked about their market. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Sounds good, my friend. Buck, have a great weekend, brother. We'll talk at you maybe not the exact same time next week, but next Friday for sure.
I'll be around. See you, boys.
Appreciate
you. Buck Rising, ASD Sports. Always love catching up with him, talking Titans and more. Last segment of this hour, Trey Wallace is going to join us at around 2:20 today. And as we get into the 2 o'clock hour coming up, Ty Simpson, the 5-star quarterback from Martin, will be signing. That starts around 2 o'clock today. We're going to do our best keep you informed of what's going on there.
Yeah, that would be huge if Heupel could pull that out.
A lot of very interested parties around here, so stick around for that as well. That's coming up. It's Blaine and Mickey with special guest Alex Apple on 104.5 The Zone. Free agency. Little Joshua Clay flavor, our traffic guy, Joshua Clay. He's also a wacky FM DJ, and he's a heck of a guitar player. That's his band, The Reveal. Our guy, Ryan Albany, sneaks in some of their music from time to time. Always enjoy hearing it. Really, really good band. If you like blues-based rock and roll, you'll like The Reveal. You'll love them, actually. Vols fans hoping to be loving some news. It's funny. We've had every ball guy on that you can have on. Alex Apple sitting in for Blaine today, and we've asked him about Ty Simpson. It's one of those things where it's all these recruiting guys and the guys who cover the team every day, and they're like, look, they're doing their best. They're putting on the full court press. They're trying their best to land this guy, but they're probably second or third. Alabama was the crystal ball favorite on 24/7 this morning. I was looking, and they sort of were the front runner for this young man, but 24/7 said he had narrowed his choice. Ole Miss has been mentioned all along, but 24/7 this morning, Alex said Alabama, Clemson, and the University of Tennessee were basically the big three remaining for this guy. And I would just say this. Think about being a guy who was so good at college football that two of your choices were Alabama and Clemson, and the other was your hometown team, you know, that you'd probably grown up, or your home state team. UT Martin is where his dad coaches. That's his hometown team. But your home state SEC school, Tennessee. And, oh, by the way, also Ole Miss, if you just wanted to go and, you know, walk through the Grove before your games for 4 years. I mean, think about being so good. Like Alex Apple, if you guys don't know him, he's sitting in for Blaine today. He just kills it for Fox 17. He's a great news guy. He's always on top of the story. I remember when there were marches and he's down there in the middle of everything. Alex throws himself into his work, which I've been a news reporter before, and I know how hard that is. It's a grind every day, and Alex does a fantastic job. But imagine right now if you're like, hey, man, I've got to hang up because I've got every major network that wants me right now. So I'm gonna graduate from Fox 17. Then I have my pick of major networks. That's what this guy is about to put a pen on a piece of paper and sign. And I'm always in awe of this, of a young man and his family. This guy's, his dad's a coach. They understand a whole lot of this, but more than a lot of people, just because it's their life every day. It's their family's life based on having a coach for a dad. But some people are going to go on Twitter and say ugly things to this kid. Don't do that. He's just trying to do the best for him and his family and for his future. Don't say ugly things to the kid. He's just trying to get to the next stage of his life.
Yeah, and I covered recruiting in Texas before I got back into news. I mean, and it is a fascinating world. Yes. People are idiots and treat all kinds of things at these kids. I mean, I can sympathize with the feeling. You want, as a Vol fan, so bad to have something. I will say this. If you're Ty Simpson looking at, I can go play for Jeremy Pruitt, I can go play for Josh Heupel. From a pure quarterback perspective, you're probably choosing Josh Heupel. I'm not sure how much losing Pruitt killed him. If they lose out on this kid, it might be because he hasn't known Heupel as long, doesn't have the comfort level, but you're also playing against the big dog. But what kills you as a Vols fan every time you see Trevor Lawrence up on the screen in his Peyton Manning jersey, and he wanted to be a Vol, well, until they blew the program up for a decade. You know, you need to start getting these in-state kids. And Trevor Lawrence wasn't in-state, but grew up a Vols fan.
Right.
You know, it would be huge. Nothing short of huge for Josh Heupel to pull in this kid. I mean, with a coach for a dad, he thinks the game well. I mean, that's really the one thing that's always hard to project. You got all these talented kids. Can they grow up and think the game at a high level and play in the SEC? You know he can do that, and he combines that with a physical skill set, you know, and a comfort level looking in the pocket. I mean, he's only playing high school kids, and you still look at him, though, and he just looks like he's playing with boys, and he's a man. You know, his physical skills – coupled with the fact that his dad is a coach, are incredible and a rare combination and the kind of player that Tennessee has to get. I will say this. I look at Tennessee's roster. I think Harrison Bailey can be a great player for Josh Heupel. I think Caden Salter can be a better player, the kid that just committed out of Cedar Hill, Texas. I can tell you all right about Cedar Hill, Texas, and the pipeline and the football that they play down there. I mean, and it is an elite school. That is as close in high school as you can get to playing almost SEC football. But this would be huge for Tennessee, a statement for Josh Heupel, and maybe a sign of things to come. What was the biggest knock, Mickey, about Josh Heupel? Not his offensive coaching, not who's he going to hire as defensive coordinator. Can he recruit?
Right.
This would be the first sign.
Well, that's why you bring in big guys, people on the staff who are great at recruiting. But those guys, when the offensive coaches from Tennessee, they got to do that marathon Zoom meeting, it seemed like they were speaking very directly to quarterback recruits. Hey, man, we don't make you think. We're not going to just pull you out if you make a mistake. Blaine and I were laughing, reading these words. It's like, my gosh, it's like they're talking to last year's staff. Like, you're not going to go out there and worry about making a mistake with us, because that's not what we do. You know, we don't pull guys. But we just had a field day with those comments, because I said, it's like they were talking to everybody who was involved with this last year and anybody who watched that and saying, we're the complete opposite of that.
And
we give you all the tools, put you out there to succeed.
Think about a kid like Walker Merrill, local talent from Brentwood High School, four-star recruit. He's already on campus, graduated early, had a good senior season. You know, he goes from committing to play for Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt to playing for Josh Heupel. Now, that's not everything to everybody, but if I'm a kid like that, I'm taking note. I mean, if I'm a wide receiver, quarterback, anybody on the offensive side of the ball, you really like to play that. And that is a huge thing. You know, when I was covering recruiting in Texas, TCU, where I went to college, had to change their offense. It was antiquated in the Big 12, and you can't run an antiquated offense in the Big 12. Nobody would want to go there. They changed their offense and beat Ole Miss by 40 in the Peach Bowl. Yeah. I mean, there's a chance there. I'm already suckered in as a Vols fan is the real answer.
Well, and going one final comment, the Heupel offense probably runs 20 plus more plays per game than the Cheney offense did. So that's 20 plus more opportunities for anybody to go out there and make Amen. A play. They want to run a lot of plays. We want to run a lot of plays in the final hour of the show. Trey Wallace is going to join us. JT, our buddy, has, I think, a little pipeline into this press conference for Ty Simpson. I'm getting a thumbs up. I hope that's a thumb up I'm getting from Ryan Albany.
Like
yes, not
up.
The finger. It's a thumb. He's giving me the thumbs up. Looks like we're going to be able to cut into this live. Ty Simpson signing somewhere soon, and we got it. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin.